Okay, everybody, it's the Great Debates Podcast.
I'm kissing you, Healy.
Dave loves Healy today.
I'm going to start not saying anything until the micro starts.
Oh, man. Healy's on a rampage about this, like, not wasting any time before we get into it.
Well, let's waste a little bit of time. I want to kiss him.
Let's waste some time before we start.
Okay. I'm ready. I'm just want to kiss you.
Yeah. Okay. I got a timer going. I've got a micro debate. I'm excited about it, just like always.
Come here, Healy.
And
give me that scratchy
Dave,
little neck of yours.
You take the pro. Dave.
Yeah.
Attention, please.
Sorry. I was kissing
Dave,
Healy.
Dave, this is different. You're going to take the pro.
Woo!
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. The clock's about to tick. Topic up for micro debate.
I'm ready, man.
Garfield gets it.
Oh, does he ever? I don't know much about Garfield. I'm not like a huge Garfield fan of the comic strip, but what I know about Garfield is that the guy gets it. What does he like? He likes sleeping. He doesn't like Mondays, and he likes lasagna. You gonna argue with any of those things? He has generally a kind of like existential dread, which is implies that he gets it. Most smart people have that kind of dread. There's nothing about his worldview that I can see as being wrong or. The guy gets it. He just wants to sleep and eat.
No. Garfield is an asshole. He's completely ungrateful to John, who takes care of him. He is a shithead to Nermal.
Watch your language when you're talking about Garfield.
To Nermal and Odie, he's always trying to send them to Abu Dhabi or push them off the table. He is the reason why he's so grumpy and grouchy all the time might be because he doesn't have any gratitude. I mean, if he realized the privileged position he's in, where he lives with a man who makes him whole lasagnas for a cat, he doesn't have to go to work. Why does he hate Mondays? A Monday is the same as every other day to him.
He's a slave. He's not supposed to have gratitude. He didn't ask for this lot in life. He didn't ask to be John's slave.
Garfield's okay.
He's not an asshole. He's being true to the spirit of the cat, which is to sit around, do nothing, and to not want other animals in their space.
He's lucky he didn't get thrown into an incinerator. I'm assuming Garfield was a shelter animal that John got somehow.
Who cares? What does it matter?
So, he's probably like a street cat or a street kitten that was found.
Cats don't understand the concept of gratitude. That's why he gets what it is to be
Mondays,
a cat.
But he can't figure out gratitude?
Yes.
How does he understand Mondays?
I can't get inside the head of Jim Davis. I don't know what the rules are for Garfield, but I know that he understands what Mondays are, but he doesn't have gratitude. He gets it. And his basic philosophy is one that I think is correct. I think that he gets the big picture in a way that most comic strip characters don't. I don't think Charlie Brown gets it, and yet he has the same sort of like morose attitude that
Lucy
Garfield
gets
does.
It. Why don't you like Lucy? She
I do like
your
Lucy.
Kind of
Lucy does get it. Yeah. I didn't say that Lucy doesn't get it. All I said is that Garfield gets it.
You know who gets it? Heathcliff. Vivacious, lust for life. He's out there rummaging
Heathcliff
through garbage cans.
A fucking joke.
He's pulling out fish heads. He has a sexual life, which Garfield does not have.
Maybe Garfield was spayed or neutered. I don't know, as Bob Barker would say. I don't think Garfield has genitals, and that's probably why he doesn't have a sexual drive. Heathcliff is a ne'er-do-well, and I don't think that he gets it. I think he's a hedonist.
Garfield is suffering from clinical depression, and he should be on medication.
Suffering from what?
Clinical depression, and he should be on medication.
I think most people who suffer from clinical depression get it. There's actually a very strong correlation between intelligence and depression. There's a lot of studies that show that people who are more likely depressed are people who understand the world better than other people. There's a lot of evidence that to truly understand one's lot is in life is to lead it more likely to a life of despair and dread. Garfield gets it.
Have you read a book called The Conspiracy Against the Human Race by, I'm forgetting the guy's name, I'm totally blanking on it.
But no.
I think you'd be into it. It's basically, he says that humans are born with this horrible, the consciousness is this curse,
yes.
It's an evolutionary screw
Absolutely.
Up, it sucks that we know our whole
what
deal.
Is you also told me about the guy who believes that the sort of conscious voice is an evolutionary fluke of the last...
Yeah, that's Julian Jaynes that believes the like two hemispheres of the brain didn't used to communicate. And
right.
When ancient Mayans or whatever were hearing gods talk to them all the time, that was just because their consciousness was...
They didn't even understand what a consciousness was.
Yeah, they didn't.
My belief is that, like many species, there's an evolutionary flaw, and with humans, the flaw is that our brains are too big.
And
that's what's going to blow us.
How, literally
what
too
size
big
would be
too,
the right size?
Well, you know, a size that would keep us, that would not quite get us to nuclear weapons or global warming. But we're going to kill ourselves.
Do you mean
because of our brains?
I think we're getting to a state of chilled out mindfulness and the drugs we allow ourselves. We're going to get to a chilled out state.
All of which is incredible, like restraint on the size of our brains.
But
don't use it.
Of our brains will have to get us to a place of limitation.
If there's anything that threatens our existence, it's the size of our brains.
Medina, I'm trying to kiss you for a second so I can get a question.
You think that's more likely than like a comet or asteroid?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Did you see that they're trying to push an asteroid out of the way just to test it so that when an asteroid comes really close to the Earth?
You know who I hope they didn't get for the job?
Hold on, I have a question.
The Seattle offensive line.
Oh.
Okay.
Wait, you argued for the Seattle offense.
Yeah. I'm trying to ask a question over here. Medina, do you mean literally that the brain is too big or that it is too capable?
Well, they're one and the same, I think.
Interesting.
But aren't you enjoying this life of consciousness?
You know, when humans are born, our skulls can't even be fully formed because we can't get the brain out.
We have like a leather football helmet.
You have to be born early.
That's why they call babies leatherheads.
Leatherheads.
Is that not true of other species that they don't have like
they
the
stay
soft,
in
the
longer
brains?
And yeah. then that when they're out, once they're out, they're ready to go. They can walk around. The only reason we come out and have to be carried around and in a crib is because our brains are so big.
I just want to say skull, that does that perfectly mimic the history of football helmets?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is that the you know there's that theory that the development of the fetus mirrors the development of human evolution.
Yeah,
that has been debunked.
What do you mean debunked? It does.
No, it doesn't.
They start out like a little larvae, and then you're all grown up.
To the extent that it gets bigger, yes. Yeah. But there, people used to believe that it was an exact representation of the process of evolution.
Okay.
We now know that that is not the case. Not so with the skull and football
helmets.
That holds true.
That's something.
I think it's safe to say we're in host chat.
We're into host chat,
Deep in host chat.
I want to give a little brag about the Great Debates.
Okay.
No, I'm not going to like
it. I hope
I'm going to like it.
Go ahead. I'm going
to keep. I went to a huge, epic Hollywood party that was thrown by William Morris Endeavor. And
awesome, man.
Okay. You know, I warned you there's going to be some bragging. Just accept it. It's a big party. There's celebs there. And I see celebrity chef David Chang, Momofuku, bunch of awesome restaurants. I know this guy. I've met him a couple times before.
That's cool, dude.
Okay, is this helpful? Is it fun? You know this is going to happen whether or not you criticize it or not. So just go
I'm
with
sorry,
it.
Bro.
Okay, so Chang, he comes up to me. And we're walking towards each other. And from basically across the room, he goes, "That Dan Medina has the sexiest goddamn voice I've ever heard."
I didn't know this was going to be bragging about Medina.
Yeah,
because I absolutely would have allowed it. And
you think
course,
I'm going to brag about myself? What kind of monster do you think I am?
Usually when people brag, it's almost by definition about
I'm bragging
themselves.
About my friend Medina.
Yeah, no, he's got...
That's a really nice thing. That,
yeah,
like,
it was nice.
Chang said.
Yeah, one craftsman respecting another.
A
His
super
art
cool
is
guy.
The kitchen, and yours is the vocal cords.
Definitely an artist.
The thing that people can't understand who are just listeners of the podcast is that Medina backs up everything. Like, the phrase "great face for radio" applies to Medina 0%. Like, somehow he has a great voice for radio, but he's also a handsome, happy, cool, happy for the most part, I assume.
It sounds like he's not psyched about consciousness.
I have human consciousness
like the rest of us, but just fucking rock solid, awesome dude. Sexy as hell.
He's great.
Okay, guys, thank you so much.
Total change of subject, little story for host chat. Okay, I was at the airport. LAX.
Oh, keep bragging,
and
don't
there
you?
Was a, you know how they have Gladstones for fish in Terminal 3 or wherever I was?
Yeah,
this is, something happened that has mystified me ever since. I'm walking by the Gladstones for fish, and a guy and his wife or girlfriend walk up to the Gladstones for fish,
okay.
And he sees a sign outside the restaurant,
okay.
And he says, he reads the sign aloud, he goes, "Capacity 95. And then he goes, "This airport And I was like, what? Was he amazed? Was he upset? Was he? Is that a lot? Is that a little? What is it?
Average, boring size.
Yes,
number is not remarkable.
No. And why, what does that tell you about this airport? What is going on?
Could you do like a missed connections or something?
Yeah,
to try
I think
to
that's what I'm doing here.
The nature of his comment.
Can you describe this guy in any more detail?
Yeah, probably white, probably 40.
Oh, this guy was white?
Yeah, probably 44.
Pants or shorts?
Pants, shirt tucked into the pants.
Great.
He looked like a consultant or something. I think he was wearing like a solid color button-down shirt and khakis and a belt.
The airport is one of the great places to see. I know this is an obvious point, but to see a cross-section of humanity, airports and malls are like the two greatest places. Airports maybe even better than malls because you get, depending on where you are, international people, people from different cities. It's, you can't beat it.
How much do you think the airport is a cut above just the average pull of humanity? Because it is people who can afford to fly.
Maybe 15-20%, if I understand your question properly.
Yes.
But you also get to see people at their absolute worst and people at their absolute best. You get to see couples reuniting. You know, there's that like that that montage, Love It or Hate It, in Love Actually, where you know, you get to see soldiers coming back. If you're lucky or unlucky, depending on what your political beliefs are, you get to see. But you also get to see people who are so fucking tired they just want to like sleep, and you get to see couples arguing.
Yeah.
God, I saw so many couples arguing on this last trip I was on. It was great. Can I give you one snippet?
Please, yeah. You were just in Australia.
I was just in Australia, and on the streets of Sydney, I passed I assume drunken couple, and I heard the woman. It was in an Australian accent, which I won't
attempt. Please do it. Please do it. Please do. You have to do it.
I'll try.
Okay.
No, I don't want to because it'll ruin it.
You have to do it.
All right, fine. Here's all I heard was a man, like a woman, shouting up to a man who was like 6 inches taller than him. He looked like he wanted to just fucking die. And she says to him, "Don't you understand? You make me hot-headed."
That's great.
I think that was more British or vaguely nothing. I can't.
I'll
I don't know.
It.
I don't
take it.
I'll take it. I like that you try. I think on Great Debates, we should have a policy that if you have to try the accent.
That's fine. I beat you in the Miley Cyrus contest.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Medina? Sure. Do you think so?
I don't know. No comment.
Yeah, thank
you.
No
judgment. Guys, I want to get us into the main event here now. That was a good time
we
just
great
had.
Host chat.
Yeah.
Okay.
And to me, Miley Cyrus.
Here's our topic, and Dave's. I'm sorry, Steve's taking the pro.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm Steve Healy taking the pro.
Don Draper was better at his job than John Hamm.
Oh wait, you get the pro?
I'll swap if you want.
What?
I'll swap if you want.
You calling it Insta swap?
Insta swap.
Insta swap. Yeah.
Don Draper is better at his job than John Hamm. John Hamm's a great actor for the most part. And
wait, I'm sorry. You have to say I'm Steve. I'm
Dave King, and I'm taking the pro. Don Draper is better at his job than John Hamm. John Hamm is very good at being Don Draper. Don Draper is the best ad man in the country. Everybody wants him. Not so casting directors and directors and writers of John Hamm. Don Draper, time and time again, fucking nails it. His pitch for Carousel is in the episode Carousel, when he pitches the Kodak, what do you call it, film strip thing, that is better than any performance that Don Draper's made. I don't mean that his performance is better. I mean that the fictional character Don Draper does a better job of pitching an advertisement in that moment than John Hamm has ever done acting. He makes a man get up out of the conference room crying because he's so moved by his by the job that he's done. Is that realistic? Maybe not. But that just tells us he's hyperbolically good at his job.
It tells
that's
us
the end of my opening statement.
It tells us everything we need to know that you had to go back in the past 7 years to find this good example of Don Draper's
that's
work.
The first one that came to mind.
Which
you want 100 others from season 7?
Draper is a fairly good ad man. He also got suspended from his job for a year for having a public meltdown. He should have been fired. He goes to work at McCann Erickson. He cannot handle
it. That's how good he was at his job. They couldn't afford to lose him.
Terrible manager of people. He's a terrible alcoholic who's drunk at work all the time.
Manager of people.
He can't work with other people. He is constantly causing disasters and problems. He skips work frequently.
Who cares?
He's just not that good at his job. Now, John Hamm won an Emmy Award for Best Actor in a Television Drama. He is the best actor of that year. Draper has never won anything like that.
Are you really going to come on the Great Debates podcast and use an Emmy win as any sort of objective measure of a human being's performance at their job? How dare you?
I would also say this.
Yeah. Give me 30 seconds.
And also, by the way, when he won that Emmy, everybody was like, finally, God, the guy's been crushing it for years and years.
That is not what they said.
Draper said he finally won
because he'd been nominated every year. They didn't say that he deserved it. They said he finally won as we expected. And also, John Hamm in his acceptance speech, I don't even want to go there. Let me return to an earlier thing.
Okay.
Let's even take for a second the ridiculous notion that an Emmy win is somehow a measure of your performance as an actor.
Here's a guy who worked at a very mediocre advertising company.
Let me finish.
Yeah.
Yeah, he worked at a very mediocre advertising company. He was so good at making advertisements that he turned that company into one of the best ones in New York.
No, they got swallowed up by a bigger company, at which point Draper was basically lost in the shuffle because a million people can do his jobs without the drama and the chaos that he brings wherever he goes.
The whole point of the series, the whole lesson that we learn is that no one else can do his job. The series chose to end.
Ted Shaw can do it. Peggy can do it.
Ted Shaw can't do it. We saw that in season 7.
Roger Sterling can do it.
Let me talk for a minute. God damn it, you're pissing me off, man. Don Draper sees a plane flying overhead in season 7. He gets out of a meeting where he sees a guy who's worse than him talking about pitching Budweiser or whatever, Miller Lite, I think it was.
That guy's being very rational. They're conducting a business meeting. Draper can't handle it, leaves for six months, God knows how long,
and has a meltdown.
Because his second meltdown of the series.
He knows that when Don Draper returns, he's going to bring with him the best advertisement you've ever seen.
Ted Shaw smiles
how did the series
choose
to end itself? The best ad maybe arguably ever created. Who came up with it? Don Draper. That's the exclamation point that the series chose to end itself
with. Okay, let's put that Coke ad, okay, which is Don Draper's best work. That Coke ad.
I don't think it's necessarily his best work, but I think it was the best ad of the time.
John Hamm was an actor in one of the greatest television dramas of all time. He is obviously better at his job than John Hamm.
I totally disagree.
He was the central character of this hugely groundbreaking, revolutionary television show.
There are dozens of other human beings who could have played Don Draper.
Name one. Who could have done it?
I wasn't at the casting sessions, but I'm sure that there were a lot of people who would have been just as good. I believe that...
You know a lot of actors.
Name
somebody else who could have played Don Draper. Name somebody else. You can have any actor around.
I would say, just off the top of my head, if Nick Offerman played Don Draper, it would have been awesome.
No! Terrible!
You are totally underestimating his acting abilities. That series would have been amazing.
Our listeners are in their cars pulling over because they're going to crash.
John Slattery could have played Don Draper.
Slattery could not have played him. He doesn't have the charm. He doesn't have the magic. You're a sucker. You should reveal to listeners that you know Slattery and he's a friend of yours.
I wouldn't consider him a friend of mine, but I know him, and I think he's a fantastic. I think he's a better actor than John Hamm.
No,
I'm not afraid to say
not.
That. George Clooney could have played John Hamm. Could have played
Slattery. Had a chance to be the lead of a show. It was K Street who bombed. John Hamm.
It's because the show is worse than Mad Men.
John Hamm. Well, look, you got to.
Mad Men is so good that virtually anyone who played Don Draper was going to be nominated for an Emmy every single year
It could have been a flop. It could have been bad, but he's so charismatic. He held our attention. He was the fantasy of women across the country.
I'm not saying that John Hamm isn't good as Don Draper, but the whole, like, lesson that we learn time and time again on Mad Men is that Don Draper is the best ad man there is.
Put John Hamm in the, rank him as a character in Mad Men as an actor.
Rank him as a
character. How good is he at acting?
Well, he's about as good as Peggy is at advertising. That's what I would say.
Okay.
He's excellent. Don Draper is a better ad man than Peggy is.
Okay, Peggy there, never...
There's no comparison. And by the way, when you say that Don Draper's not a good manager of people, I would point to Peggy Olson as exhibit A of how, hey, his methods may have been unconventional, but he was
Peggy
damn good.
Crazy. She quit.
Maybe
she
he
went
had
to
drive
firm.
Her crazy.
They
to
lost
get the...
this great talented person for years at, what's the firm called? Sterling Cooper Draper?
Maybe that's the best way to manage a person, though. Sometimes you have to let that person...
To lose them? No.
Yes,
they
absolutely.
Lost a valuable piece
she,
of talent.
He knew that she wasn't going to find her own way at Sterling Cooper.
He didn't care about that. All he cared about was himself.
That may be, but he... No, actually, I'll say this. He cared about two things. He cared about himself, and he cared about his craft, his product, which was making advertisements. And no one was better at it, arguably in the history of man, than Don Draper. That is the only consistent thing in the show, is that every time he knocks it out of the fucking park. And the one time that he wasn't able to do it, he walked out of the room in the Hershey's thing because he knew he wasn't getting the job done. I believe it was the Hershey's thing.
No, he lost it because he was having basically a mental breakdown. He couldn't handle being
just
in the
goes
corporate
to show
workplace.
You how
he couldn't do his job. He literally couldn't even do his job.
The incredible psychic anchor
what if John
that was held around his neck, the guy was still able to do a better job than anyone else. Here's a guy, and I'm talking about Don Draper, not John Hamm. Here's a guy who struggled with depression, who struggled with alcoholism, who struggled with arguably sexual addiction, who struggled with horrendous family upbringing.
We're not grading.
Despite all of that, Don Draper was able to be the absolute best at his job. And by the way, you brought up the fact that John Hamm won an award for his work.
You keep saying
that as though McCann
Erickson won awards too. McCann Erickson was the bigger firm. This guy worked at a mediocre firm. He made two good commercials. Carousel, which was only okay. And like it was moving when he did it because John Hamm was playing that scene to us, the audience. But that ad wasn't even that great. Then he made the Coke ad, which was okay. And that happened after two mental breakdowns.
All you have to do is look
years
at the pilot
of creating
the
chaos and disaster.
In the pilot of Mad Men, Don Draper comes up with "It's toasted." He not the lucky strike pitch. It's fucking unbelievable. Everybody's cigarettes are toasted. Who cares? Yours are toasted. We're gonna nail that in people. It's an enormous
success. You know
what
he is? He's splashy.
And in the finale,
it's an enormous success.
I'd like to
buy the
world Coke. I'd like to buy Steve Healy a Clue. You got no idea what you're talking about.
Is Lucky Strike even in business anymore? This guy's job is to keep companies in business, to help them move product.
We gotta move on to closing statements because you're
so
wrong
about
this.
Yeah, of course you'd love to bail out of this tailspin you got yourself into.
You want to keep going? I'll keep going, buddy. I could talk about this for hours.
Close.
No, I want to keep going.
Close.
I want to open it up.
Close it up.
You don't have the guts to close.
You have to close. You're the pro.
Don Draper is the best ad man.
You
John
keep saying that as though you're going to make it true. He's just not.
Closing statements.
Thank you, Dan. Don Draper is the best ad man. He wins awards for his work. He's the one man
who won almost no awards.
Closing statements.
John Hamm has also won almost no awards.
There's a regular scene at the of them going to the Clio's and losing. It happens in almost every season.
And who does that remind you of, Healy? Going losing almost every year. Of course he's not as good as an actor as Jim Parsons, multiple Emmy winner. Of course he's not as good as an actor
Jim Parsons is way, way better at his job than Don Draper is.
I'm going to flip this table!
Jim Parsons is the star of one of the biggest comedies of all time. People love him. They can't get enough of him.
If being star of the biggest comedies of all time is criteria for being a good actor...
His job is to not be a good actor. His job is to be the star of Big Bang Theory, and he is amazing at it.
Not the subject of this debate. Don Draper is the best ad man of his time. Everybody wants to work with him. All we see on the show is him creating the best advertisements, headhunters trying to poach him away from the place he works at. Money is no object when it comes to trying to hire Don Draper. Everybody wants a piece of him. All he does is hit a home run with every campaign that he's ever touched. No one compares to him. Every ad man is jealous of him. Every ad man is jealous of him. I would say not so of every actor. Ask yourself, would Bryan Cranston switch places with John Hamm? I say no. Would George Clooney? Would Ed Norton? I say absolutely not. And yet every ad man in the universe, I won't even say a madman, in the universe wanted to switch places with Don Draper. That's how good he was at his job. There are many actors who would have been better as Don Draper than John Hamm. He did an excellent job. I would put him in the top 1%, and I would put Don Draper in the top 1.
His own company had to suspend him for a year because of how disastrous he was at work. He made some okay ads, but the reason why everybody was jealous of him is because he was drinking and fucking hot chicks all the time. It's not because he was such a great ad man. He was okay, but by the end of the show, he's... the employee of these guys who are so far beyond him, they don't even bother to include him in conversations because he's a mercurial and kind of exciting and interesting, but he's basically... Don Draper is about as good of an ad man as the guy who plays Bert Cooper is at acting. John Hamm is the star of one of the greatest, most interesting and compelling shows of all time. He was finally honored for his work. What everybody agreed was long overdue.
Honored. I just want to point out that you used...
Closing statements.
Wait, what were you going to point out? That I used the word honored? Yeah, he was honored with the trophy.
An Emmy win is being honored? Do you really believe that?
I believe that winning an award, while I agree that the Emmys are silly, but winning one is an honor.
How many people were nominated for Best Actor this year?
I don't know, five, seven?
Okay. If seven people, let's say it was five, 21% of the voting electorate could have believed that he was the best actor and would have won.
Do you think just that's to be nominated honor? As well? Yeah.
Oh, I totally agree. If in a world where winning is, well, then what, being nominated is.
Is it an honor to win the Nobel Prize? Yes. Even though just some jerks in Sweden pick it? Yeah, who cares? It's still an honor.
This is not a topic that we're debating.
Yeah, I'm so sorry I got derailed.
By the way, I agree with you that the Nobel Prize isn't that big
enough.
An honor. It's an award. It's silly.
Closing statements. John Hamm is... First of all, he's not even...
made your closing statement.
He wasn't finished.
He's not even done as an actor. He has so much left to give us.
Oh, but that... Okay, are you done
that
now?
That was it?
That boy, what a dumb point to end on.
I can't. It seems like I'm not allowed to finish my closing statement here, or what?
I'll give you a few more, you know.
Will you shut Dave down, please?
Do you think
Dave.
John Hamm is good in The Town?
Come on,
I don't. I'm not afraid to say that.
I think The Town is a flawed script and a flawed movie. It's not Hamm's fault. He's very... But there does are well with what he's given.
In The Town. And I think The Town is great.
I really love The Town.
I think it's great.
Great movie.
I think it's a great script and a great movie. And I think John Hamm is the weak link in it.
John Hamm on one of the biggest stages the world has to offer.
You boys didn't just knock over a star market.
Crushed it and dominated.
Close the bridge. What? Close the bridge.
Are you doing Hamm in The Town? Yeah. How did we get to this during my closing statement?
It's bad. It's not good. I'm
okay,
sorry.
let's give Healy like one more chance to kind of, you know.
Look, I don't want to waste everyone's time. Everybody already agrees with me because it's fairly obvious. Draper's a very mediocre ad man. He's mercurial and a disaster of an employee. He's bad at so many parts of his job. John Hamm is tremendous at his job. We've only seen him in one manifestation of his job at which he was absolutely incredible. And he was honored, yes, honored, Dave, with an Emmy Award, plus showered with critical acclaim and the amazing fandom that everybody surrounded him with. He's an amazing, charismatic, compelling actor, truly gifted, truly one of the greats. Way, way better at his job than the fairly meaningless, eccentric Don Draper.
Mm. Okay, now we're done.
Do more Town lines for us. Do, what's her name? Buying Oxy in the bar. Blake Lively. I mean, that tells you everything you need to know about The Town. What are they doing? They cast Blake Lively.
Dollar
like
bill
Southie trash.
Is 6 inches long.
Mm-hmm. See, the fact that you're doing this impression of him shows how good of an actor he is.
Oh, God.
He made this resonant, powerful performance that you
people
can
do impressions of, like, Al Pacino.
Do you really think...
Okay,
let's talk about
Hoo-wah!
Okay, let's talk
great
about...
Great performance.
He won an Oscar for that performance.
It's a fucking joke. You don't really think that's a good performance,
I think
do you?
Al Pacino is a great actor.
Of course he's a great actor.
He used to be. I just watched Dog Day Afternoon. It's unbelievable. He's unbelievable in it.
He's one of the greatest actors since World War II. You really going to shit on Al Pacino?
In Scent of a Woman, I am.
Serpico? Well, Scent of a Woman is great. It's compelling. It's fun.
Really?
Yeah.
People have their peak, and then other things happen after.
Yes.
That.
Now, do you? I've got to ask you. You don't really think Don Draper is better at his job than John Hamm?
I totally do. I'm not joking when I say that Don Draper was the best,
and John
Hamm is one of the best.
I got to tell you, Dave sort of brought the passion on this one.
He did. He got hot, but I mean, I think he's deeply misguided.
Well,
I don't think he paid close enough attention to Mad Men.
What I took away from this was that you, Dave, brought more of a gestalt to the facts, and you kind of just sort of threw them out there, and I think that's why he might have won.
Ugh.
That's why I wanted to give you more of a closing statement.
Ah, I was too rattled by hearing Dave do The Town.
It's been known to rattle people.
Yeah.
Also, you know, just the art of the debate is something that I'm into, and Dave, I was impressed with your closing statement.
I'm sweating. I got so angry, Healy.
You did a great
job. I don't
know
how you can actually believe that.
I don't think there's a lot of evidence in Mad Men that Don Draper is that great. But he's got
That's why you lost the debate, because it's still absolutely the case.
That's all everyone talks about.
No, it's really
he's
not.
He's indispensable.
He's constantly fucking up. Yeah. He's screwing up constantly. He's a terrible employee.
Accounts. He screws up all the time.
Everybody's
so good at
after
his
every
job.
Meeting with him, everybody's yeah. totally exasperated.
He's so good at his job that it takes him. He should have been fired. A lesser ad man would have been fired 1,000 times.
He basically was
fired.
Have
you guys heard about this? The famous Netflix HR presentation. There was a fellow podcast, Planet Money, did an episode about it. And the idea is that nowadays, the new way of looking at things is that hard work with mediocre or average results is not rewarded. Minimal effort, maximum results is highly rewarded. Mm-hmm. Being at the office for the hours that you're required to be there, who cares? It doesn't matter when you're there as long as you make an impact. Mm-hmm. And so if Don Draper worked for Netflix during that time, he would have been a top employee because he brought the results.
Yeah.
But you think,
regardless of his long vacations and spin outs and whatever.
Well, I think that it's pretty clear that for the most part, the places he worked at mostly embraced that Netflix attitude.
Do you think at Netflix these days you can drink at work if you're doing a great job?
What's interesting is that the sort of woman HR person who, along with what's his name?
Reed
made the this HR philosophy up, apparently in carpool rides to work, was since was cannibalized by the whole thing. She was ousted because she was no longer relevant to Netflix because they started working with, Hollywood production. She's not a producer is a better HR person for Hollywood than a Silicon Valley HR person is.
Right.
She has no experience hiring directors and
Was no Don Draper. You could just say she wasn't as good at her job as Don Draper was.
I heard a good story about that guy Reed Hastings, the CEO of Netflix. Do you want to hear it?
I'm sure there's a lot.
Maybe
of,
we should put it on.
Lay it on me.
Great debates overtime.
So he was when he was a young man. He went to a summertime program to see if he wanted to be into the Marine Corps.
Yeah,
and he went to that, and he said in the Marine Corps training, they make you arrange your backpack in exactly the same way. Everybody does it exactly the same way. And he was like, I got a better way to arrange my backpack. I'm going to do that. And they were like, buddy, this is the Marines. You can't do that. And he was like, fuck this. I don't want to be in the Marines. And so he joined the Peace Corps instead because he felt that was more improvisational.
Didn't Healy tell this story on The Great Debate before?
Did I? I'm so sorry.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't listen to anything
This
Healy
is like Project Greenlight anymore. Inside the episode where it goes for a few
Great
more minutes.
Great season of Project Greenlight.
I'm really liking it.
Oh, we got. I think we're out of time.
Well, let's have a minute of Project Greenlight talk. Okay. I hate if I repeated a story. I really hate that.
You probably did, but
I think I told it to Medina, but not on the podcast.
No, you totally told it on the podcast.
I don't know, man.
You can tell it, and because I'll never be able to find it.
Listeners, write in if you remember hearing this before.
Okay, that's a fun assignment.
Sorry, talk to me about Project Greenlight.
What a great episode. What a great season.
Yeah. It's great. We got back from this trip, and there were 3 episodes waiting for us.
Oh, my God.
Ooh, mama.
I don't even want to say what I think about it. It's so great.
Yeah. It's a great cast of characters for a reality show. I feel like there are times where I can see through the reality of it and that there's been,
Here's my thing. Having been a part of, like you guys, seeing films get made,
yeah,
it's a unique circumstance for a reality show because there is that much drama in the making of a movie, and the decisions that people make are based on things as stupid as they.
Yeah.
So, I kind of don't feel that people are being pushed in one way or another.
I think,
I know that they probably are. But it's so believable that people are as idiotic as they are in Project Greenlight.
It seems to me that there was either a tacit or explicitly. What am I saying? Either there is a spoken or unspoken decision where we may not make a great movie, but we're going to have a good TV show. And so basically every decision to me reflects that attitude. And so far it's great.
I think everyone below Ben and Matt are just playing out their roles, and then Ben and Matt are doing things that are dramatic and funny. Yeah.
Helio, you're not watching?
No, I love it. It's great.
Oh, it's so
I'm a little nervous because I know we're recording this, and we're gonna. There will be two new Project Greenlights by the time we put this episode
up.
And
they're both
who
bad.
Knows what happens?
It's I bet it holds up, man. I bet it holds up.
Maybe Effie and Jason finally have it out, like for real.
Oof. You mean sex?
That would do them both a world of good, and I bet.
If I were writing this season, that would be oh the best God. Episode.
I would, you know, I'm not into fan fiction, but I would read a well-written Jason Effie slash fiction.
Yeah, you might have to write it, buddy.
Yeah. If anybody comes across that, let me know.
If anyone wants to write it, tweet at us.
If anybody writes a paragraph of Jason Effie fan fiction and is pretty good, I'll read it aloud on The Great Debates.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Great.
Good times,
that's
guys.
We can all agree
it
on.
Better be fucking erotic.
Whoa.
Good times. We'll see you next time after we've all seen a few more episodes of Project Greenlight on The Great Debates. I'm about to go ham. Hard as a motherfucker, let these niggas know who I am. I'm about to go ham. Hard as a motherfucker, let these niggas know who I am. Fuck y'all mad at me for? Y'all don't even know what I've been through. I play chicken with a Mack truck. Y'all motherfuckers with a Ben move. I swam waters with great whites. Y'all motherfuckers with a Ben chew. I hustle with vultures.